You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Bailey in Texas. And Bailey's question is about the efficacy of CCPT with children with NF1. And for those of you that are not familiar with NF1, it's a genetic condition. And I'm actually going to enlarge that a little bit to all kinds of disorders and diagnoses of the sort so that I can make it a little bit more universalizable, if that's a word. But I just want to kind of talk through when a child has been diagnosed with a disorder, any kind of disease, that how that typically impacts the process, what their presenting issues usually are, and we'll just kind of process some considerations together. So I will read parts of Bailey's email and then we'll dive in together. I'm wondering about the efficacy of CCPT for children with NF1. I've looked, but I can't find much research around play therapy and this specific genetic condition. I have a client that is 6 years old with NF1, and her challenges all look like ADHD. I can see how therapy is helping her with impulse control, empathy, executive planning, and relational skills. However, I want to know the realistic expectations that parents and I can set up with her struggles and how much play therapy can realistically help with this genetic condition. The client's parent reports that the client's behavior is much better when she's compliant with ADHD meds. However, getting her to be compliant and take the meds has been a challenge for them. All right, Bailey, thank you so much. And by the way, I see on your email that you're under the supervision of Brittany Wilson. Small world, Brittany and I both won the doctoral research award the same year. And so APT awarded both of us for our doctoral research and play therapy the same year. So we were at the awards banquet together and we were presented with awards together. So I actually am familiar with Brittany. So tell her I said hello, and it's nice to see that you're under her supervision. Okay, so let's dive into this. So let's start off with a couple of thoughts before we look at some specifics. First of all, it's really interesting you mentioned that her challenges all look like ADHD. Okay, I was actually just this week, we were in the coaching programs, we were talking about the most common diagnoses and just some considerations about that. And I refer to ADHD as the blanket catch-all diagnosis. And what I mean by that is the diagnostic criteria and the symptoms that are associated with ADHD are obviously tied to that disorder, yet they can be explained away by 100 other reasons. So you have distractibility. Well, that could be ADHD, or it could be addiction to screens. You have inability to focus and impulsivity. That could be ADHD, or it could be dysregulation. You have anxiety factor in. You have lack of emotional vocabulary factor in. You have a lack of emotional regulation. I mean, no emotional vocabulary. The list goes on and on and on. So often kids come in and they have been diagnosed with ADHD, or they look the same as diagnostic criteria for ADHD. But there are so many other reasons why those behaviors would be presenting. And so when we look at the whole child, we can usually see that it is not ADHD. It is in fact something else. So I thought that was really interesting that you said her challenges all present like ADHD, because that's exactly what happens. We meet diagnostic criteria, but ADHD is actually not a valid diagnosis. So that's something we need to be really mindful of when kids come in with ADHD diagnoses, and or if the parent is considering having them tested for ADHD. My standard response is, let's address everything else going on in the child's life through child-centered play therapy, and then we'll reevaluate whether or not we still feel like diagnostic criteria is met. And it rarely, if ever, is still met after they go through a course of play therapy. So I wanted to throw that out there before we dive in. Okay, so let's start with my disclaimer. I have not personally ever worked with a child with NF1, but I have worked with children with all kinds of genetic and congenital and physiological diagnoses and disorders and things like that. So I'm going to generalize this a little bit and make it a little more universal, but I think this will still apply to your specific client, Bailey, with NF1. So any diagnosis in childhood, any medical complication, any congenital defect, disorder, disease, anything that makes a child physiologically different from their peers, it causes issues for the child. They know they're different. They don't know why. Or if they do know why, they resent that they're different. They resent that things come easier to other kids. They resent the challenges that it creates. They resent the fact that they struggle and other kids don't. They think that there's something wrong with them. They think that there's something bad about them. They usually turn to self-blame. They turn to negative self-talk. They actually become very, very critical of themselves. And it's all because they know that, quote, I'm different. So when we have that kind of pressure from any kind of disorder or diagnosis or disease, we know that that's going to weigh heavily on a child's self-esteem. And when a child does not have an identity, when a child does not have value, self-value anyway, I mean, all children inherently have value, but if a child doesn't believe that they have value or worth, they don't have any sense of who they are, and they have very low self-esteem, they behave in very self-defeating ways. So we're very clearly aware that a child with a condition like NF1 is absolutely going to have low self-esteem and struggle behaviorally. That will just go hand in hand. Okay, when you specifically asked, I want to know the realistic expectations that you and the parent can set up. Well, I feel like that's a little bit of a slippery slope. So I'm going to answer that, but I actually want to kind of reframe it a little bit. So the child-centered approach does not go into treatment saying we're going to set up realistic expectations. What it does, however, is it helps the parent understand what they can foresee for the child and what they will gain as a part of the therapeutic process. So I think it's actually less about what's going to help with the condition and more about how play therapy is going to give the child what the child needs to better address everything that's going on in her life. So I think we need to be really intentional and careful about our language and about our phrasing and about our words that we use, especially when we meet with parents. Because if we say things like, I want us to have realistic expectations, that puts us in the driver's seat and it puts us with an agenda and it puts us with outcomes that we are looking for. And that's no longer adherent to CCPT. So what we want to do instead is talk about how she's going to develop coping skills. For everything that she faces, she will be better able to face the NF1 condition. She will be better able to face taking her medication. She will be better able to face social interaction with her peers. She'll be able to better interact relationally with her family members. She will be able to know that she can trust herself to handle things that come. Coping is a huge piece of the puzzle when it comes to any kind of condition that a child is dealing with, because from what I understand anyway, NF1 is treatable, but not necessarily curable. So this is likely something she's going to deal with the rest of her life. We're not trying to fix it. We're trying to give her coping skills so that she can better manage it. She will also build resilience. She will be tougher. She will be able to handle harder things as a result of the CCPT process. So when a child is more resilient, they are better equipped to handle anything that may come. And she will develop problem-solving skills. She will realize I can trust myself to navigate whatever comes my way, whether it's related to NF1 or not. So we kind of pivot away from setting realistic expectations to deal with the condition, and we make the focus on what is she going to gain as a result of the play therapy journey. And that obviously leads to a pretty frank discussion about the four universal outcomes. Because regardless of a reason that the child starts play therapy, they will work on their own individual issues. So if a child is dealing with anxiety, they will work on anxiety in CCPT. If they are dealing with aggression, they will work on that. If they're dealing with power and control, they will work on that. Yet, regardless of presenting issues and regardless of why a child starts the play therapy process, the four universal outcomes are consistent regardless of whatever the child specifically brings in. So that would certainly be something that you would want to bring up to parents, Bailey. Here are the four universal outcomes. By the way, pop quiz, what are they? That one actually might be a tricky one. Some of you may not have been able to yell those four to me. So let me throw you a bone. They are increased emotional vocabulary, increased regulation, increased worldview, and increased self-esteem. And if you didn't know those or you don't know the details of that, please go back and listen to earlier episodes because we've talked through the four universal outcomes before. But here's why that matters. Because what parent wouldn't say, wow, if my child has better self-esteem, if my child has better regulation, if my child has a better emotional vocabulary, and my child has an increased worldview, things would be so much better for my child and for our family and for my child's future. Those are things that we should have the parents' attention focused on. Look at what she's going to gain in spite of the NF1 diagnosis. Look at what she's going to be able to achieve and what she's going to be able to learn through this process. Those four universal outcomes are hugely important for kids that are struggling with any kind of disorder or disease that is not necessarily going to go away. I'm actually working with several children who have persistent and pervasive physiological conditions. And the goal is not to, you know, address the condition. It is to make sure that they are set up to manage whatever comes related to the condition. And that is very important to parents. And then finally, your last little bit of that is how much play therapy can realistically help with the condition. Again, I think I can answer the question, but I'm going to reword it a little bit because play therapy is not going to help with the condition. The condition is genetic. The condition is not going to go away. So play therapy will not actually help with the condition at all. But play therapy is going to help your client totally perceive everything about her life differently. She will be more in control. She will be more regulated. She will have an emotional vocabulary. She will have coping. She will have resilience. She will believe in herself. She will trust herself. She will develop an identity. She will increase her confidence. She will feel more competent. And I can go on and on and on. These are all of the things we see as kids work through issues. So those are the outcomes that play therapy is going to afford your client, completely unrelated to the condition, really. And so the goal whenever we are dealing with something that is likely not going to change or improve, and this can be actually generalized to even child goes back and forth between two homes and one home is chaotic and dysfunctional and crazy and unsafe and you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on at one house. One of the concerns is, but the child's still going to have to go back to that environment. In this case, the child's still going to have NF1. So our response to that, how is play therapy going to help when that's not going to go away? It's coping skills, resilience, problem solving, self-trust, competence, confidence, belief in self, ability to handle things. All of that means that the child can go into that situation, into that environment, face the condition, and they know that they can handle anything. It goes from what if, oh no, to I can figure it out. I can handle it. I can manage it. I know what to do. I trust myself. I'll be okay. So, Bailey, thank you so much for the question. That was really helpful. Every single one of us work with kids that have disorders and diagnoses and conditions. So it's important that we articulate to parents effectively how this is actually going to help. And so I'm really glad that you wrote in, Bailey. I appreciate it. And again, tell Brittany hello. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for emailing me. I am on a mission to get through every single question that has come in. So I'm likely going to be dropping a question a day for quite a while, I think, if I can manage that. So, thank you for your concern for me. So many of you ask if I sleep and how I do it all, and do I take care of myself, and all of those types of concerning, you're worried about my self-care. Thank you for caring about me enough to inquire about that. I promise you that I'm good about self-care. So I want you to know I do sleep at least 8 hours every night. I'm good at sleeping. I take care of myself. I make sure that I am not overwhelmed. So when I sit down to do podcasts and when I coach and when we do the collective and all of that, that is such a joy to me. And I know that a lot of you feel like, oh my gosh, I don't know how you manage it all. I manage it all because that fills me up. And so I promise you, even if I do a question a day for a while, I will manage my self-care and I promise I will be fine. So I just wanted to alleviate your concern. You don't need to email me and say, is that really good idea, Brenna? Because I think you maybe need to just go take a nap. I promise I'm well rested and I'm going to be okay. All right. I love y'all. I hope you have a great week. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.